I'd like to add a word of welcome to those that have come before me this morning in welcoming you to another worship service of the Northwest Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that you are our honored guest and we are pleased to have you in our presence on this morning. If you are visiting with us, particularly for the first time, we ask you to please fill out a visitor's card so that we may have a record of your visit with us this morning. Those cards are located in the pew pockets in front of you. So if you will fill those out, we will make your presence known later on. Also, if you have you don't feel like standing and you have a special prayer request that you would like to have uttered on your behalf, there are prayer request forms also located in the pew pockets in front of you. We appreciate our brother Miller reading our scripture on this morning. Our scripture text is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, and then again in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, or 5 through 8 as he read. But I'll be centering on 7 and 8. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul, in talking to young Timothy, as he was nearing the end of his journey as a missionary, as an apostle of the Lord, Paul says to Timothy, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He says to Timothy, "No man warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." And then he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul says to Timothy, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." He said, "Not only to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance." If you recall, Northwest, back in May of this year, we celebrated a day called Memorial Day, a day that was first observed on the 30th of May, 1868. To honor those who had died in the Civil War. Now on Memorial Day, we honor those who have died in the military service of all of the wars of the United States of America. We would do well, Northwest, to remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice to ensure our freedoms this morning. Because of their sacrifices, we now know that freedom is not free. Just as we know that freedom from sin was not free, it cost heaven the blood of Jesus. There have been hundreds of thousands of great soldiers in this country's history. And while we have honored the war dead throughout America's history, I want to remind us also this morning that of another great soldier that comes to my mind this morning. Later in this service, we will commemorate another memorial service. We will celebrate the Lord's Supper and call to mind the death, the resurrection, and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this morning, Northwest, that Jesus was a good soldier. Oh, yes, he was. Jesus was a good soldier. Now, even while we honor our war dead and our resurrected Savior, there is another group of soldiers that leaps into my mind today. I'm reminded this morning of those in Christ's army who have died on the battlefield of faith and the legacy that they have left behind. I'm referring to those mentioned in the Hebrews chapter 11, those heroes and heroines of faith, great men and women of God who were good soldiers of the cross and who died on the battlefield to preserve our precious faith. I want to honor them as well this morning. And as we think of these people who have sacrificed so much for us, I want to remind you this morning of an awesome truth. One of these old days, our lives will all be over. One day, every person in this room will just be a memory and of those living on this side of eternity. When it comes time for you to leave this old world, I want to ask you, what kind of legacy will you leave behind? When people remember the kind of person you were, will they remember you as a good soldier of the cross? The time to think about these things, Northwest, is right now. After you are gone, it will be forever too late. And as Paul neared the end of his life, Paul languished in a Roman prison. But from that prison cell in Rome, this great apostle Paul took steps to ensure that he would be remembered as a good soldier of the cross. He took time, you see, to write to young Timothy and to give Timothy those secrets, you see, of becoming a good soldier of the cross. It is that thought that I would like to consider this morning as we think together on the subject, a good soldier of the cross. Notice I did not say a soldier of the cross. I said a good soldier of the cross. Perhaps this sermon on this morning will encourage each of us to become the best soldier that we can be for the glory of the Lord. Well, I came to tell us this morning that a good soldier, he is a follower. A good soldier implies a relationship. Now, the first step is to join the army, or in our case, be added to the army of the Lord. No one can be a soldier for the Lord until they get into the Lord's army. Am I right about it? This is accomplished only through receiving Jesus Christ as one Savior. John says in John 3, and the verse is number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then the Bible goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2, and the verse is 89, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. Then Acts says in Acts 16, and the verse is 31. The Bible says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. You see, being a follower implies rank. There's always someone that's higher than you. The same is true, Northwest, in the Lord's army. Every child of God is under rank under Jesus, and is responsible for following him and to do his will in their lives. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, he said, what? He asked the question there. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God always has a way, you see, Northwest, of cutting down to size, a general to a sergeant to a private. Do you all remember that story in Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 9? I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version. The story of Gideon. The Bible says, beginning at verse number 7 there, he said, then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. And so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into thy hand. lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Gideon's army, northwest, was 32,000 strong. And the Lord told him that that was too many. And so the army was reduced by 22,000. And there remained 10,000 men. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. And the number was reduced again by only 300 men. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered them into thine hand. You see, the Lord only needed a few good soldiers. You see, notice I said a few good soldiers to do his bidding. So he can knock it down to size, can't he? But I also came to tell us this morning that being a good follower implies rules. And I will tell you this morning, to refuse to follow orders is treason. When we are in the Lord's army, we have the obligation this morning, Northwest, of obeying his orders even unto death. Notice the call of Christ that has not changed this morning. In Matthew 16, and the verse is 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will do what? Come after me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, when we refuse to live our lives as the Lord desires for us to live, then we have crossed the line from follower to traitor. Y'all need to hear that this morning. James 4 and verse 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Yes, a good soldier, he is a follower. But not only that, a good soldier, he is faithful. Huh? His faithfulness can be seen in his patience, as we saw in verse number 3 of our text. He endures hardships and he does not, turn away. The good soldier realizes that there will be trouble along the way, and he's not detoured by those troubles. You see, a good soldier understands that pain is often a part of the Christian's experience. You see, John tells us in John 16 and verse 33, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you should have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Please remember this morning, Northwest, that the Christian is called upon to face life with extreme patience. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 12, and the verse is number 1. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, in the New Testament, the characteristics of a man is one who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trial and suffering that he may face. A good soldier, his faithfulness can be seen in his priorities. You see, the good soldier, he seeks to please the commander. Notice, if you will, that the good soldier has no higher goal in life than pleasing his superior. The good soldier knows that anything which interferes with his performance in the military must be done away with. The good soldier wants to please his superior, and he does whatever needs to be done to get the job done. Who comes first in your life this morning, Northwest? Whatever or whoever it is, that is your God. Pleasing Jesus ought to be the first priority of every child of God. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 31. The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all what? To the glory of God. Then we're reminded again in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 that we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Then we find that a good soldier, his faithfulness can be seen in his practice. You see, a good soldier guards the truth of the faith. The good soldier takes care of things delivered unto him. He is determined to do a good job, and he refuses to do anything that will bring disgrace and dishonor upon his superior. And so it is with the Christian this morning. You see, he wants to live his life in a manner that brings honor to the Lord and not dishonor. Are you keeping the faith this morning, Northwest? Huh? Well, the Philippian writer tells us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, the Bible said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Huh? That what? That ye stand fast in what? One spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And then Paul, then the writer says in Colossians 1 and verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye walk worthy, huh, of God, who had called you unto his kingdom and his glory. So I came to tell us this morning, yes, a good soldier, he is a follower. Yes, a good soldier, he is faithful. But also I came to tell you this morning that a good soldier, he is also familiar. There are some things that the good soldier knows, you see. A good soldier, he is familiar with the sound of the commander's voice. Huh? John tells us in John 10, verses 3 and 5. He said, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. The way to get familiar with the Lord's voice this morning, Northwest, is to spend more time listening to it. How do you do this, Brother Hall? You do it by getting into his word. Do you know him this morning, Northwest? Huh? When he speaks, a good soldier, he is familiar with the skills of using his weapons. Yes. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, wherefore take you unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day. He said, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Then it said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and watching therefore unto all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see, the good soldier this morning, Northwest, know that he is engaged in mortal warfare. And the good soldier knows that the only way to succeed in the fight is to be proficient in the use of his spiritual weaponry. You and I would do well this morning, Northwest, to learn the art of spiritual warfare if we intend to succeed for the glory of God. A good soldier, he is familiar with the strategy of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. The Bible says, and not marvel not, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed, how? Into an angel of light. And then we find in 1 Peter, we know this verse all too well, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, we are admonished to be what? To be sober, to be vigilant, because what? Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The good soldier knows that the enemy is ever active and that he never rests. Huh? He never rests. The good soldier knows that the enemy is shrewd and he's ever attacking. But he also knows that there is help. Oh, yes, there is help. You see, for the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 13 and 5 that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. As long as we stay faithful to the Lord, he will stay faithful to us. He knows that regardless of the trap, God will make a way of escape for us when we find ourselves in traps. For he says in 1 Corinthians 10 and the verse 13, there had no temptation taken unto you, but as such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with temptation also make a way, what? Of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see, the good soldier, a good soldier studies the method of his enemy, and he learns his weaknesses and those exploits to the fullest extent of his ability. The good Christian soldier need to be wise to the ways of the devil, and he needs to know that the Lord is greater than any enemy that you and I will ever face. For 1 John 4 and verse 4 says that ye are God of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. A good soldier is familiar with the shadows of his friends. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You see, the good soldier not only cares about his own welfare, but he also looks out for the welfare of his fellow soldiers. You see, Galatians 6 and verse 2 reminds us that we need to, what, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. A good soldier, he learns about his friends by being around them. There's a need this morning, Northwest, for the soldier of the Lord to train together. Huh? And I'm talking about Bible class on Sunday morning and Bible class on Wednesday night and worship service on Sunday morning and worship services on Sunday night. We need to train together. Yes, a good soldier, he's a follower. A good soldier, he is faithful. A good soldier, he is familiar. And I also came to tell us this morning that a good soldier, he is a fighter. Paul makes three statements in verse number 7 of Ephesians chapter 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7, that describes a good soldier. A good soldier, he is determined. This good soldier does not retreat in the face of the enemy. A good soldier does not run from the fight. Instead, a good soldier stands his ground and he fights the battle until the battle is over. Many Christians this morning, Northwest, have dropped out of the battle. Huh? And I challenge you not to be among those who have dropped out of the battle. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You see, a good soldier this morning, Northwest, is driven. The good soldier realizes that the battle does not run according to his time frame. A good soldier knows that another is in charge of the duration of the battle. But the good soldier is driven to the finish. The good soldier is in the battle to the finish. Are you in the battle to the finish this morning, Northwest? If not, we ought to be. What would it take to make you quit this morning? Huh? Many Christians this morning are about one disaster and one service away from quitting on the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? Huh? Does that describe you this morning? Huh? I challenge you to keep serving and keep on fighting for the Lord. And then I came to tell you that a fighting soldier, he is dedicated. Oh, yes, he is. The good soldier dedicates himself to keeping his oath. He is determined to live for the Lord regardless of the personal cost. The good soldier keeps the faith. Are you keeping the faith this morning? Huh? A good soldier, he keeps it by living it. He keeps it by sharing it, and he keeps it by defending it all the time. The faith, you see, is precious to the good soldier. And he does everything in his power to keep it pure and to keep it undefiled. So yes, a good soldier, he is a fighter. And then lastly, I want to tell us this morning that a good soldier, he is a finisher. A good soldier, he has resolve. The good soldier is in it for the long haul. He does not quit at the first hint of trouble. The good soldier, he is a finisher. God gives us Christians with the attitude of being finishers, doesn't he? We need someone who will stay in the stuff these days, somebody. A good soldier who is a finisher, he has a reason to finish. Why does the good soldier endure hardship? Why does the good soldier stay in the fight? Why does the good soldier follow the leader selfishly? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning, Northwest, because I came to tell you this morning that it is because the good soldier knows the price that was paid by his superior to make a place for him in his army. The good soldier knows that his Lord loves him and that Jesus died to make a way of salvation for him. Therefore, he loves the Lord, and no price becomes too high for the good soldier to pay. The good soldier is the finisher this morning because he has his reward. The good soldier finishes his course because he knows that at the end of the war, every deed will be rewarded by the commander-in-chief. But I'm afraid this morning that there are some that are among us that are tired of even striving to be a good soldier of the cross. By getting tired of being a good soldier of the cross, you are missing out on blessings now and on blessings to come. For those of us who stay in the battle, oh, there will come a glad day of blessings. On that day, you and I will hear the Lord say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." You have been good or faithful unto death. You have fought the good fight of faith. You have been a good soldier of the cross. You have labored in the vineyard all of these years. You've been wounded on the battlefield, but you kept on fighting for me. You were tossed and driven on the battlefield, but you kept on fighting for me. Oh, don't we thank the Lord this morning? Because we were kept while we were on that battlefield, we were kept by grace. We were kept by his love. Oh, that song, you know, what amazing grace. You know that song, Amazing Grace? It said, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Yes, one of these days, Northwest, we're going to sing God's praises way over in glory land. But before we hear him say, "Well done," We must have gone that last mile of the way as a good soldier of the cross. For that song says, if I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work to the close of day, I shall see the great King in his beauty. Oh, when I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there's joy that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. You see, that song describes our last mile. Jesus traveled that last mile. There was joy before him, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Think about Jesus' last mile as you travel this road as a good soldier of the cross. Jesus' journey from Calvary was not for him, it was for you and for me. Huh? The difficult mile that anybody could travel was traveled by Jesus. But I came to tell us this morning that we don't have to make the journey that Jesus made. Our last mile is from here to eternity. It begins with your journey in front of this auditorium. The song goes on to say, if for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for a sheep gone astray, I am sure he will show me his glory. When I've gone the last mile of the way, here the dearest of ties will sever. Tears of sorrow are seen every day, but no sickness, no sighing forever. When I've gone the last mile of the way, if here I have earnestly striven as a good soldier of the cross, and I've tried all his will to obey as a good soldier of the cross, 'twill enhance all the rapture of glory of heaven. When I've gone the last mile of the way. And when we step out into heaven's glory, we will hear him say, as he said in Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23, his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What will be waiting you this morning, Northwest, when you meet Jesus? Oh, I came to tell you this morning, Northwest, that glory will be waiting for you when you see Jesus. Just remember, as you serve Jesus as a soldier of the cross, that Jesus will be with you whatever come your way. You may be beaten down and Satan is heavy on your back, but you just remember the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. He will fight your battles as long as you stay in the fight and be a good soldier of the cross. I know for myself that the Lord has never failed me yet, and he will never fail you while you serve him in his army. And I want to ask you this question this morning as I hasten on to close. I want to know, would you classify yourself this morning as a good soldier of the cross? Huh? If all of us are honest with ourselves, we probably recognize areas where we could be a better soldier. Huh? If so, then I challenge you to make a change and to ask the Lord to make things as they should be in your life. If you've never joined or been added to the army of the Lord, then today would be a good time to make that a reality. And then the Lord will add you to his church. When you pass from this scene, would it be said that you were a good soldier of the Lord? Well, I came to tell you that it can be, but that is entirely up to you. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 again in verse 7 and 8? Paul said to young Timothy, he said, I have fought a good fight. In other words, what Paul is saying to Timothy is that I have been a good soldier of the cross, my Lord. And I have stayed on the battlefield for my Lord. Paul said, I have finished my course. In other words, Paul said, I have finished my enlistment in the Lord's army as a good soldier of the cross. Paul said, I have kept the faith. Paul is saying that I've been a good soldier, because I've obeyed all of the commands of my commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. And then he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that day. But I love what he said in the end, not only just to me, Paul, but to everyone, but to all of them that what? That love his appearing. Have you been a good soldier of the cross this morning? If not, you can be. Yes, a good soldier, he is a follower. He's faithful. He's familiar. He's a fighter. And a good soldier, he is a finisher. But I also came to tell us this morning that if you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this morning, Romans 10 and verse 14 says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Then the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then you must repent of your past sins. Acts 17:30 said, the time of this era, therefore God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Then Acts 8 and 30, 36 and 37, we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Behold, the Bible says, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Then he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we must be baptized, Acts 2:38, that for the remission of our sins. And Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.